بسم الله الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هذه سبيلي أدعو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني وسبحان الله وما أنا من المشركين وقال تعالى في مقام آخر كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خيرا لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون وقال تعالى في مقام آخر والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من دعا إلى هدى كان له من الأجر مثل أجور من تبعه لا ينقص ذلك من أجورهم شيئا أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. My respected elders and brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His grace and mercy, has blessed us with the greatest bounty that anybody can receive, and that is the bounty of Iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us with Iman, grant us the ability to fulfill the dictates of Iman, the demands of Iman, and grant us death on perfect Iman, resurrect us on the day of Qiyamah to the people of perfect Iman. This Iman which Allah ta'ala has given us is the most valuable thing that anybody can receive from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On the day of Qiyamah, a disbeliever will come in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he will be willing to ransom everything so that he can be safe on the fire of Jahannam. Not one gold coin, not one bar of gold, not this whole masjid full of gold, not Durban full of gold, not KwaZulu-Natal full of gold, not South Africa full of gold, not Africa full of gold, but the entire world full of gold, he'll be ready to ransom, just to be safe on the fire of Jahannam, just for this Iman that Allah blessed us with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept it. In the end of the third juz of Quran, Allah ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ مِلْءُ الْأَرْضِ ذَهَبَ وَلَا يُفْتَدَى بِهِ. The entire world full of gold will not be accepted from a person to ransom himself on the fire of Jahannam. How valuable this bounty of Iman is. How valuable this bounty of Iman is that Allah has blessed us without much effort. Most of us, if not all of us, were born in the homes of Muslims. We got Iman for free, with no effort, with no sacrifice. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and gave him kar-guzari and report of the days of Jahiliyyah. Then in the days of Jahiliyyah, he had come across a father who was about to bury his daughter alive. And he ransomed that daughter away from the father in exchange of some camels. And like this, he made it his habit that he went around looking for those fathers who were about to bury their daughters alive. And he ransomed those daughters away from the fathers in exchange of some camels. And like this, he had saved, if I'm not mistaken, 360 girls from being buried alive in the days of Jahiliyyah. So he comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asks Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what will be my reward for doing this great act of protecting these girls in the days of Jahiliyyah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, Allah ta'ala blessing you with deen, being blessed with Islam is the reward. How great is Islam, how great is deen, that just the reward of that action is Allah ta'ala bless you with Iman. What greater reward can you expect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this Iman that we have, we do not know the value of it. We do not know what it can give us, what benefit it has for us in this world, what benefit it has for us in the Akhirat. Because we have not realized what Iman is, what Allah ta'ala has blessed us with. That is why to sacrifice Iman became easy. To sacrifice this Iman for the sake of dunya became easy. To sacrifice this Iman for the sake of few coins, few rands, few cents became easy. But Sahaba radiallahu anhu, who had made sacrifice for the sake of Iman, they had shed their blood, they shed their sweat, they shed their tears, they shed everything. They had sacrificed their family members for the sake of Iman. They had realized and recognized how valuable Iman is. That is why they were not ready to sacrifice Iman for anything. Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu, Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, was traveling with a group of Sahaba tabi'un to the Roman territories. And he was captured by the Roman soldiers and he was brought before the Roman king. And the king was informed that this is a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Sahabi, even the disbelievers at that time knew the status of a Sahabi. So he said, this is the prime person, prime suspect we need to turn away from Iman. If he turns away from Iman, others will follow him. So the king of the time, the king of Rome, offered him half his kingdom in exchange of becoming a Christian, leaving Islam, leaving Iman. But this Sahabi, Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu, was not prepared to do so. He told the king, if you give me all that you possess and all that the Arabs possess in exchange of leaving Iman for the blink of an eye, I am not prepared to do so. So he saw that this Sahabi was not going to budge. So he called for two captives and he made the soldiers or the people who were under him boil some oil or water, big cauldron, and he threw the captive into it. Immediately he passed away. And this was trying to threaten him, to warn him that if you do not accept, this is going to happen to you. He still was not budging. Like this, they threatened him in different ways to try to make him leave his iman. Finally, they were taking him to throw him also in the cauldron of hot water or oil. And as he is going, he starts to tear. So the soldiers thought that now this Sahabi, he has succumbed to this pressure. Now he's going to change. So they came and they told the king that now he has started to cry. Perhaps he's going to change. Why don't present Christianity again to him? Now they presented Christianity again to him. He told him, see, I never started crying because of fear of dying, or fear of being killed. The thought came to my mind that only one life Allah gave me. How I wish and desire that I have number of lives for the extent of my hair of my body, so I can give every life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the king heard this, the king realized that there is no use killing this person, because he is going to benefit him in killing him. So he told him that I am ready to free you if you kiss my forehead. So Abdullah bin Huzafa radiallahu anhu, he was not a person who thought like us, thought about himself. He thought for the sake of the ummah. So he told the king, I am prepared to kiss your forehead if you free me as well as all the other Muslim captives. So the king agreed. So he kissed the king's forehead and he was released as well as all other Muslim captives. They returned to Medina Munawwara. Umar radiallahu anhu is the khalifa of the time. And Umar radiallahu anhu takes Karguzari, report back what had happened. When Abdullah bin Huzafa gave Karguzari, Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned a statement, a command, that it is the right of every Muslim that he will kiss the forehead of Abdullah bin Huzafa, and I am the first one to do so. Allah Ta'ala granted him respect. He sacrificed his own desire, he sacrificed his own respect for the sake of the freedom of his Muslim brothers. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored him immediately, that all the Muslims were commanded by the Khalifa all the time to respect him. But what the lesson we learn is, they understood the value of Iman. That Iman is so valuable that they can give lives upon lives, but they cannot sacrifice Iman. Respected Alim brothers, this Iman that we are speaking about is what we have to realize the value of. How important, how valuable it is. That not for nothing, for no commodity of this world, is Iman can be sacrificed. On the day of Qiyamah, when we will come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the reality will dawn upon us, what is Iman? As Ali radiallahu anhu, he is famously quoted to be saying, "An-nasu niyamun," people are asleep, "idha matu intabahu," when they pass away, then they will really awaken. This life is not real. This life is a dhoka, is a deception. Mata'un qaleel, little goods of deception. Mata'ul ghurur, is not real. Wa mal hayatu dunya illa la'ibu wala. This whole life of this world is only play and amusement. It's not real. The real life is akhirat. Wa inna ad-dar al-akhirata lahiya al-hayawan. Real life, true life, is the life of the akhirat. So what we see in this world is not true. The wealth of this world is not real wealth. The health of this world is not real health. The goods of this world, the commodities were not real. Not real. Person is the wealthiest person, and immediately if he passes away, what happens? All the wealth is gone to someone else. Person is the healthiest person, and the command of Allah comes for him to go. His health cannot protect him from passing away. So the reality is not this world. The reality is akhirat. In akhirat, the person will be healthy forever. Person will be wealthy forever. Person will be in a good condition, the good condition will remain forever. Person will be in a negative, evil condition, that evil condition also remain forever. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the hadith an incident which will take place on the day of Qiyamah. There on the day of Qiyamah, two people will be brought in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One will be a person who had the best life in this world. يُؤْتَى بِعَنَّمِ أَهْلِ الدُّنْيَا مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ. He had the best life in this world, most amount of bounties he enjoyed. But he will be from the people of Jahannam, he will be a disbeliever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell the malaika, the angel, to take him and to dip him for a moment in Jahannam. And thereafter Allah will ask, that how is your life in this world? هَلْ مَرَّ بِكَ نَعِيمٌ قَتُّ هَلْ رَأَيْتَ خَيْرًا قَتُّ. Did you enjoy any bounty in the world? Did you see any good condition in this world? Few moments in the fire of Jahannam will make him totally oblivious of all the bounties of this world. He will take a qasam in Allah's name, they did not enjoy any bounty. All those bounties of this world, all came to nil in seconds. On the other hand, the believer in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُؤْتَى بِأَشَدِّ النَّاسِ بُؤْسًا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. The person who had the most difficult life, but from the people of Jannah, the people of Iman, he will be brought. And the malaika will be told to put him into Jannah, dip him into Jannah for a moment. And thereafter he will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, هَلْ مَرَّ بِكَ شِدَّةٌ قَتُّ هَلْ رَأَيْتَ بُؤْسًا قَتُّ. Did you undergo any difficulty? Did you tolerate any hardship in this world? Despite having the most difficult life in this world, few moments in the precinct of Jannah will make him totally oblivious of the entire life of difficulty in this world. This is the reality of Akhirah. The reality of Akhirah is not what we have in this world. Sometimes we're happy, sometimes we're sad, sometimes wealthy, sometimes poor. This is the condition of the world will keep changing. But Akhirah is the reality. Person is happy, happy forever. Person is sad forever. A time will come in Akhirah when Malakul Maut also will be destroyed. Death will be destroyed, given the form of a sheep and be slaughtered. No more death. On that day, if a person could die, the people of Jannah will die out of happiness. And if a person could die, the people of Jahannam will die out of sadness. Because now, forever is happiness, forever is bounty, forever is contentment, forever is ease and comfort. On the other hand, for the disbelievers, forever is pain, forever is suffering, forever is discomfort. So, my respected elders and brothers, we are not sitting here for a bayan, we are sitting here for a fikr, a worry, a concern. Firstly, for ourselves, we have to worry about ourselves. One day we are going to stand in front of Allah. One day we are going to enter that grave, to answer the question in the grave. We have to answer the question on the day of Qiyamah. Each one of us, Allah has linked us to this effort of deen for one reason: how our life can come right, how we can come close to Allah, how good the commands of Allah can come alive in our life, how the sunnah of Rasulullah is coming alive in our life. It's not for anyone else. If a person is making effort and is intending someone else, there is a possibility that through his effort someone else will come right. But because he don't intend himself, he will not come right. Imagine a person on the day of Qiyamah. He's in Jahannam and he can see the people he made effort upon in Jannah. How sad and what state of sadness and grief will he go through? I made so much effort, but the people who benefit from my effort are in Jannah and I am in Jahannam. So this is the reality. Is we have to worry about ourselves. Primary focus of our effort is ourselves. That I'm giving da'wah to myself. I'm speaking about Allah, I'm speaking Allah so my own iman can increase. I'm speaking about Rasulullah so my own yaqeen and conviction and the sunnah of Rasulullah can increase. Others benefit, that is in Allah's hands. There's no promise and there's no guarantee of others benefiting from my da'wah. But definitely if I will make effort and I will sacrifice and I will give da'wah, there is guaranteed from the side of Allah, from the side of Rasulullah that I will get benefit, that I will get hidayat. Our respected Allah has explained to us that the primary part of this effort is that we have to learn to speak about Allah. How much we have spoken about the dunya, how much we have spoken about the things of this world, day in and day out, our whole day is passing, speaking about makhluk, speaking about the creation. And this same creation we are speaking about, it cannot benefit us, cannot harm us, cannot raise us, cannot demote us, cannot cause us to be honored, cannot cause us to be disgraced, has no control over anything. Totally dead. Like a puppet. The puppet will move according to the puppet master. As the puppet master will make it will move. On its own, it can't do anything. All the makhluk are like that. They cannot do anything on their own. It is the control and the command of Allah behind them that will make them do. So how we can take out the sickness of talking about creation from our lives, and how we can bring alive in our life the need that each person has, the need to talk about Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our creator. There is no creator besides Allah. Every single thing that we can see and we cannot see, everything that exists besides Allah is a creation of Allah. No matter how small that creation may be, no matter how big the creation may be, everything has been created by Allah. Allah in Quran Sharif calls Himself Khaliqu Kulli Shay, the creator of every single thing. Not only the creator, Allah is also the initiator, the first creator. There was no one who created before Allah. The word that Allah uses in Quran is Badi'u Samawati wal-Ard, the one who initiated everything. No example before Him. No model. From non-existence, Allah Ta'ala brought everything to existence. We also as insan, human beings, we were non-existent. We had no name. We had no mention. And Allah Ta'ala brought us into existence. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. We had no mention, we had no existence. Allah brought us from non-existence into existence. So Allah is the one who has created everything. What we can see, what we cannot see. The smallest of creatures, which we cannot see with the naked eye. And the biggest of creation, like the malaika, every single thing besides Allah is the creation of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after creating, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a Rabb. And the Rabb's, the quality of Rabb is that after creating, Allah ta'ala nurtures His creation until it reaches perfection. Allah ta'ala started Quran Sharif with this quality of His. Alhamdulillah, the first quality Allah speaks in Quran about Himself is Rabbul Alameen. The Rabb, not of the human being only, not of the jinnat only, not of the animals only, not of the plant life only. The Rabb of the worlds. One is the world that we know, and all the other worlds which are known to Allah Ta'ala. Allah is the Rabb of everything. Allah created everything. Allah is looking after everything. Allah is nurturing everything. Allah is feeding everything. And Allah Ta'ala will make everything reach perfection. This is who Rabb is. And Allah Ta'ala wants this quality of Rabb to be in our heart. That is why, before we were created, when we were in Alim Arwah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already questioned us whilst we were souls. Alastu bi rabbikum, which known as Ahdi Alast, that pledge, that pact which Allah ta'ala took from us. Am I not your Rabb? And all the souls in unison responded, Bala, definitely you are our Rabb. So that was one claim we made in Alim Arwah. Allah ta'ala brought us in this world. This world is the test, the testing phase, which will determine the next phase of our life. In this phase, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, via salah, has made us remember who He is, and has reminded us who is Rabb. From the time we start our salah, it is necessary for us to read Surah Fatiha. In every Surah Fatiha, we are reminding ourselves, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, who is Rabb of the worlds. So it's coming on our tongue, in our mind, our heart, Allah is Rabb. When we were going to ruku, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, pure is my Rabb, who is the most great. We will come up from ruku. Sami'a Allahu liman hamida, Rabbana laka al-hamd. Our Rabb, again we are attributing this aspect of rububiyat, Allah being Rabb, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then we will go into sajda, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Again we are reminding ourselves that Allah is Rabb. Like this, every rakat, again and again, this repetition is taking place on the tongue. And if you concentrate in our mind and our heart also, Allah is Rabb, Allah is Rabb, Allah is Rabb. So in Ahdi Alast, Alastu bi Rabbikum, we took the pledge. We said Allah is Rabb. In this world, Allah made it necessary for us to repeat that Allah is Rabb. And after we passed through the whole phase, the testing phase, the determining phase, then as soon as we enter the qabr, the first question that is posed to us by the malaika, Mar Rabbuk? Who is your Rabb? You are claimed that Allah is a Rabb in Alim Arwah. Every rakat of every salah, Allah made you repeat that Allah is a Rabb. Has the reality of Allah being Rabb entered your heart? That question, that test, that examination is when we enter the qabr. Mar Rabbuk? Who is your Rabb? That will be the question which we have to reply. And the reply will not be with the tongue. The reply will be from the heart. If we had made Allah our Rabb, we had yaqeen and conviction, Allah is our Rabb. We attributed everything to Allah. Then for Rabbi Allah, that response to come out of the heart will become easy. So with respect to Ali and brothers, the focus of this effort is how we can speak about Allah so much that Allah enters his heart, the deep recess of our heart. that Allah is the creator, Allah is the nourisher and sustainer. Every single thing that Allah created, Allah is the sole nourisher and sustainer of it. Allah is nourishing us, Allah is sustaining us, and Allah is sustaining every creation of His. No matter how big that creation is, no matter how small that creation is, whether we know about those creation or not, every single creation of Allah is being sustained by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala calls Himself in Quran Razzaq, the greatest sustainer, the sustainer of every single thing. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. Allah ta'ala has taken the full responsibility of risk upon Himself. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was one tribe known as the Ash'ari tribe. Famous Sahabi of that time was Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. So this Ash'ari tribe were coming to Madinah al-Munawwara in a qafla, in a group, in a caravan. And they had carried some food with them. But before they reached Madinah Munawwara, their food had become depleted. So they needed food. So they selected one person from amongst them to go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to request some food. So this person had gone, and as he approached the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reading this ayat, وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا وَيَعْلَمُ مُسْتَقَرَّ مُسْتَوْدَعَهَا كُلٌّ فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. So in his mind, it came that if Allah Ta'ala has taken the response of the risk, there is no need for me to put my request to front of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah will look after us. So he came back to his people without informing what had happened. So they thought he had gone and requested, and now the food will be coming. After some time, two people came. One person came with a tray full of meat, one person came with a tray full of bread, and gave it to them. The rest of the people thought that this had come from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They had eaten to their full and there was left over. So they said that this has come from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Maybe there's some other people who are in need. Let us take the leftovers back to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they presented the food and they thanked him and they told him that this food is what is left over. Maybe you can give someone else. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, I do not know what you are talking about. I did not send any food for you. So they turned to the Sahabi from the Ash'ari tribe and asked him what had happened. So he explained to them that I'd heard Rasulullah reciting this ayat and I had conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the responsibility, Allah will feed us. What yaqeen and what conviction they had, that they trusted directly in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfilled the desire of their heart, that yaqeen and conviction Allah ta'ala made a reality in their life. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking after us. Every single day of our life, from the time we wake up in the morning till the time we go to sleep at night, every morsel of food that is going down our throat is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to bring yaqeen and conviction that Allah is a sustainer. My shop cannot sustain me, my profession cannot sustain me, my wealth cannot sustain me. Only Allah is sustaining me. One friend of mine, an alim, one of our satis also, he told us an incident. He had a wealthy cousin who had gone for Hajj. And in the Hajj, on the night of Muzdalifah, those who have gone for Hajj would know, it's a nafsi, nafsi kazamana. Everyone is worried about themselves. People are sleeping million star accommodation under the sky. And to get water, to get food, is not so easy. Especially after a long walk from Arafat. So this person, wealthy man, he was very thirsty. And he needed water, but he couldn't get water. So he saw somebody walking past with some bottles of water. People generally, even if they have, they want to give you because they need it for themselves. So he asked that person for water. That person said no. So he said, person, I need. He said, no, I also need for my own family. So he took out $100. $100 he took out from his pocket. And he offered him $100, one bottle of water. That person told him no. He said that day he realized how worthless $100 is. Couldn't even get him a bottle of water. If that $100, if Allah has not put benefit in it, it cannot get you a bottle of water, or it cannot get you anything. It is worthless, useless. It will only give us benefit if Allah puts benefit in it. So all our wealth put together cannot get us one grain of rice, one sip of water, one sip of milk. That sip of water, that sip of milk, that grain of rice, that crumb of bread is only coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All our wealth cannot get us anything if Allah has not decreed it. And all our wealth cannot prevent someone from getting food if Allah has not decreed it. Complete sustenance, the control of sustenance in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hands. So we have to bring yaqeen that Allah is the one who is sustaining us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Malik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the owner, is the possessor of everything. Nothing belongs to us. Everything that we have for us is a trust that Allah has handed over to us to look after. That is why on the day of Qiyamah, whatever we had, we will be questioned about. It did not belong to you. It was only a trust that Allah had given to you. And if you not use it as Allah ta'ala wanted, you will have to answer for it. We cannot claim ownership to anything. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My respected Alayhi and brothers, these are the lessons of Iman which we have to speak about all the time. For the reality that will come in our hearts. So the time when we enter the grave, for the Rabbi Allah to come on our tongue will become easy. The tongue of the heart, for Rabbi Allah to come will become easy. Otherwise, my respected Alayhi and brothers, because of our extensive interaction with dunya and the people of dunya, our heart has become affected. Our heart has become affected by dunya and the people of dunya. That is why we have more conviction that the government can do, the kingdom can do, the profession can do, the shop can do, wealth can do. Speaking about myself, we have more yaqeen that. We don't have yaqeen that Allah is the one who is doing. So this effort of da'wah and speaking about Allah is very, very necessary for us. Every day we have to negate the creation. Every day we have to affirm that Allah is doing. This kalima that Allah gave us, a very, very mubarak kalima. Very, very effective kalima. Imagine a person, he just recites this kalima with conviction in his heart. And person who was destined for Jahannam has become a Jannati. How valuable this kalima is. But kalima not only on the tongue, the reality of this kalima to enter the heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had sent Abiyya alayhi salatu wasalam for the same purpose. Then every Nabi came to his people to turn the attention of the people away from the creation towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the different qawms and different nations of the past, they all were affected by creation. Some were affected by their own strength. Some were affected by agriculture. Some were affected by technology. Some were affected by majority. Some were affected by medication. Different tests that Allah Ta'ala had placed on a different nation in the past. And every Nabi came to negate that which their hearts were attached to and to affirm that Allah is doing. And this ummah, all the different sicknesses and diseases of the past have all been combined and have been presented as a test to this ummah. Power is also a test for us. Majority is also a test for us. Medication is also a test for us. Agriculture is also a test for us. Tijarat is also a test for us. All these combined have become a test for us. And we have to learn with the sword of La. La ilaha illallah. We have to negate everything and affirm illallah, that Allah is the only one who is in control. So this is a daily effort. Every day our elders tell us 25 occasions daily. Not 25 people. You can give 25 people dawud one time. 25 occasions, 25 different occasions, we have to make an effort to speak about Allah. We have to find the time. We find time for everything. Just as we find time for everything of the world which is necessary, this is our maqsad, the purpose of our life, how to find time for it. We have to look for the opportunity like hunter, how a hunter is looking for his prey. Every single person that we see is an opportunity to give da'wah to Allah. And Haji Abdul Wahab Sahib Rahmatullah used to say, when we are giving da'wah, we are not giving da'wah to that person. We are giving da'wah to ourselves. Apne dil ko nishana banakar da'wat dena. Make the target of a da'wat your own heart. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is doing, this has to come in the deep recess of my heart. And we don't have time. No one has time, no one has guarantee of one moment more. Young and old, healthy and sick, anyone can go anytime. Because we got no guarantee of time, the need is now. The need of yaqeen in our heart is now. If Allah takes our life now, what will be my condition when I enter the grave? Will I be able to say Rabbi Allah? This is the question we have to ask ourselves every day. And it has to force us, it has to push us to give da'wah again and again until it enters our heart. Respected elders and brothers, Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they were concerned about the iman. Despite getting guarantee on the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of Jannat, despite getting guarantee in the words of Quran about Jannat, they still were worried and concerned. Ibn Abi Mulaika, rahimahullah, tabi'i, he said, "Mettati Sahaba, everyone had one quality. They feared nifaq upon themselves. They feared the iman was not true." Let us question ourselves. I question myself today. Did I even think for one moment, maybe my iman is not true. Maybe my iman is not worthy of accepting Allah's court. Maybe my iman is not sufficient to be able to make me answer the question in the qabr. My iman is not sufficient to make me answer the question on the day of Qiyamah. We have to have worry and concern for our own selves before we have worry and concern for others. Allah Ta'ala has given us such a mubarak effort that together we're making effort on ourselves, we will make effort on others also. So the first part of the kalima, how the yaqeen of Allah can come in the deepness of our heart. Everything we see around us is happening with the permission of Allah. The sun is rising and setting with the permission of Allah. The moon is waxing and waning, changing shape with the permission of Allah. The tides are coming and going out with the permission of Allah. The crops are growing from the ground. The rains are coming from the sky with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah's decree is not there, not one drop of rain can come from the sky. If Allah's decree is not there, not one grain of grass can grow from the tree. Blade of grass can grow from the land. Not one leaf can come on any tree. If it's not the decree and permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single thing that we see is happening with the permission of Allah. Allah ta'ala in Quran Sharif has explained different bounties that He has given us. And He has linked those bounties to that asbab, which is also a test for us to recognize that sabab and the means is not doing. Allah is the one behind the means who is doing. Musabbibul asbab is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One common example which we relate to every day is milk. Allah ta'ala says in Quran, وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ الْعِبْرَةِ. In the livestock there is definitely a lesson for you. Allah ta'ala is referring here to the cattle, to the cow. But Allah is feeding us. Allah nusqikum, the attribution is to Allah. Allah is giving you to drink. It's not the cow that is giving us milk. Allah is giving us milk to the cow. Allah is not in need of a cow to give milk. In akhirat, Allah ta'ala speaks in Quran, فِيهَا أَنْهَارٌ مِّن مَّاءٍ غَيْرِ آسٍ وَأَنْهَارٌ مِّن لَبَنٍ لَمْ يَتَغَيَّرْ طَعْمُهُ. In Jannah, there will be rivers of milk, but there will be no cows. All animals will be destroyed. So Allah is not in need of a cow to give us milk. But Allah has put the cow in this world as a means of us being tested to see whether we're going to attribute the milk to the cow or we're going to attribute the milk to Allah. Definitely we will say it's coming through the cow, but we will not say that the cow is giving the milk. If we have to take a knife and cut the udder, we will not find milk. It is with the decree of Allah, then only milk will come out. And Allah has made it in a very unique manner between two najis, impure items, the dung and the blood. Allah takes us pure milk, palatable milk for us to drink. Allah is the one who is doing. Similarly, Allah Ta'ala provides for us honey via the honeybee, via the honeycomb. But Allah is not in need of the honey. Allah is not in need of the honeybee or the honeycomb for honey to come to us. In the akhirat, there will be rivers of honey flowing without no honeybees. The day is there as a test for us, whether we will attribute it to the honeybee or we'll attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala can do it with the means and without the means. Like this, in akhirat, part of the clothing of the Jannatis will be clothes of silk. Fine silk, rough silk. This will be the clothes of the Jannatis. In this world, we understand silk to come from the silkworm. The silkworm will eat the mud belly leaf and make silk. But Allah Ta'ala is not in need of the silkworm to provide silk. In akhirat, Allah will be giving the Jannatis clothing of silk to wear without the need of silkworms. Like this year, there are many different examples in Quran Majid, in our daily life, where we see things happening. From where it's happening, we have to negate. It's not happening from there. This is what Iman demands from us. Where we see it happening from, we have to negate from the bottom of our heart. It's not happening from there. It's happening because Allah has made it happen. So this is the first part of the kalima. This is a very integral part of our daily life, to speak about Allah, to negate. One is a negation of the tongue, where we will say it to someone, where we will say it to ourselves. But it's also a negation of the heart. Our elders say, you take our time, we sit in one corner. And we tell this heart of ours that Allah is doing, I am not doing. My business is not doing. Nothing in this world is doing. We have to take our time and we have to focus on this heart and we have to negate everything. Because the test of dunya and the test of makhluk is at all times. So the negation also has to be all the time. Every time we see something happening, not necessarily we're going to say it. But when we see it, our heart has to say, it's not happening from there. La ilaha illallah, it's happening by Allah. Constant, the tongue, la ilaha of the tongue also, and the la ilaha illallah of the heart also. Respected Alim, but this is the first part of the kalima, very, very important part. Our life depends on it. Our akhirah depends on it. That our heart becomes full, imbued with the yaqeen of la ilaha illallah, yaqeen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah alone is doing. And together with this is the yaqeen of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That we have to have complete conviction that only in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our success. In no other way is our success, neither in this world also, neither in the qabr, and neither in akhirat. Only in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is our success. This conviction has to come in our heart. In following the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is my success. In following the way of every and anyone else, the people of the world, is my failure, is my destruction. not only destruction of akhirat, but destruction of this world also. So how the yaqeen of Muhammad Rasulullah come in our heart? Our elders used to give the explanation of Muhammad Rasulullah in this way, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has rights over us. We have to fulfill the rights of Rasulullah that he has over us. Today we live in a world, everyone demands rights. The father is demanding rights. The mother is demanding rights. The children are demanding rights. The employer is demanding his rights. The employee is demanding his rights. But when are we going to fulfill the rights of Allah? When are we going to fulfill the rights of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? These are the most important rights we have to worry about. The first right of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is iman bil Rasul, to have complete yaqeen and conviction in every word of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in every action of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that every word that came on the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is haqq and true. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُ الْيُوحَىٰ. Every word that came on the tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is wahi and revelation. Nothing came by mistake on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's tongue. Everything is revelation from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every action that came out from the body of Rasulullah sallallahu is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How our life can come in complete conviction upon the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that in following the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, my success. So first, iman bil Rasul, the iman of the heart, the yaqeen of the heart. The second is ita'at Rasul, to have obedience and to follow and emulate the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَإِن تُطِيعُوهُ تَهْتَدُوا. If you will follow Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you will obey Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then you will get hidayat. Our elders told us, many times we have heard in the Ijtima Bayans, Muhammad Latsa's very famous statement when he started his bayan, the first, most important and greatest need of every human being is hidayat. The first, most important and greatest need of every single person is hidayat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down in this world asbab of hidayat. And one sabab and means of hidayat is the way of following the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every aspect of our life. Ulama ikram explained the different aspects. First is the adat of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The habitual practices, our eating, our drinking, our sleeping, our talking, our walking, our interacting with people. How that can come according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every aspect. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned a hadith, la yu'minu ahadukum hatta yakuna hawa'u taba'an lima ji'tu bih, that you cannot have true iman, you cannot be a perfect believer until your desire is not conform to the shariah that I have brought. Even the desires of our heart have to be in conformity to the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Man ahabba sunnati faqad ahabbani. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, whoever loves my sunnat, then he loves me. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنِي كَانَ مَعِي فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever loves me will be with me in Jannat. Who does not want to be with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Jannat? In loving and following the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sahaba radiallahu anhu, in every aspect of our deen, they were examples for us. There was a young Sahabi in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Talhat ibn al-Bara radiallahu anhu. He came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, مُرْنِي بِمَا أَحْبَبْتَ فَلَا أَعْصِي لَكَ أَمْرًا. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, command me with whatever you love, I will never disobey you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to test this young sahabi. He told him, go and kill your father. Immediately the sahabi got up to go and kill his father. This is one narration. Other narration, he hesitated. On the third time he went. When the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw that he went, he sent another sahabi behind him. And he called him back. And he told him that I have not been sent to break family ties. I was only testing you. This was his extent of love and obedience for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now this Sahabi in his young age became sick. And he used to live on the outskirts of Madinah Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as was his noble habit, he went to visit the sick Sahabi. And this is part of our deen, also part of our effort also. That we have to know who are the sick people in our area. And we have to make an effort to go and meet them. Great effort takes place by going to meet people who are sick. Iyadatul Marid is a great sunnat and he has great benefit in our work. Many homes open to the work, many hearts open to the work through Iyadatul Marid. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to visit the Sahabi and he was unconscious. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he realized that this Sahabi does not have a very long to live. He told the family members, that this Talha is going to pass away soon. If he passes away, send a message to Madina Munawwara, I will come for the janazah. Rasulullah ﷺ left and went back to Madina Munawwara. That night, this sahabi regained consciousness. So the family members told him, when he asked them, that Rasulullah ﷺ had come to visit. And they told him that Rasulullah ﷺ had mentioned that if you have to pass away, then you should call him for the janazah. So this sahabi, Talatul Bara, on his deathbed now, about to pass away, he told his family members, my request and my final wish is that Rasulullah should not come for my janazah. And the reason is, if he has to come from Madina Munawwara, it's possible that Jews might attack him, some creature might attack him, some harm might come to him. So I can tolerate Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi not performing my janazah, but I cannot tolerate any harm coming to him. Can you imagine what love he had for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? That night, as Rasulullah had mentioned, this sahabi had passed away. The family members, fulfilling the wish of the son, did not call Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The next day, the message reached Madina Munawwara that Tala has passed away. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came to Madina Munawwara and asked the family members that I told you to call me, why did you not call me? They said, no, this was a wish, the bequest of our son, we should not call you. We had fear that some harm would come to you at night. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to the grave of the sahabi. Imagine that love and that obedience for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What dua he took out from the heart of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He goes to the grave of the sahabi and he makes this dua. Allahumma alqa talhata tadhaku ilayhi wa huwa yadhaku ilayk. Oh Allah, meet Talha in such a condition that he is smiling at you and you are smiling at him. What got the dua, this mubarak dua of Rasulullah for this young sahabi, was his love and obedience for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Respect, and but this is part of the rights of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have to obey Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have to love Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. That no one can be a perfect believer, a true believer, until he does not love me. Rasulullah SAW says, his love for me is not more than everyone else, his parents, his children, the whole entire creation. The love for Rasulullah SAW to be at the highest. This is what Allah say, Iman in Rasulullah SAW, obedience of Rasulullah SAW, love for Rasulullah SAW, and the demand of love is that we send durood on Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Keep the sacrifice of Rasulullah in front of us. What Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went through for us. Think about Taif, think about Uhud. The days of Makkah Mukarramah. The days of hunger, the days of poverty. The days of Khaybar. The days when the stone that we tied to the Mubarak stomach of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All those sacrifices. Keep sacrifice in front. Everything Rasulullah did for us today, we have received deen in a pure and pristine form. To keeping these ihsanat and this sacrifice of Rasulullah in front of us, we send durood every day on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abandon durood as much as possible. Durood, there is many benefits for us. The ulama have written kitab just on the virtues of durood. How many different benefits? But the more important than the benefit, it is the right and the haqq of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam upon us. And respected Allah and brothers, the fifth aspect, fifth right of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is that worry and that concern that was overwhelming in the heart of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How a portion of that worry and concern can enter our heart. We had mentioned there are three parts. One is the adat, you have to follow, the mundane activities, habitual practices. The ibadat, the practical actions, the acts of worship, acts of ibadah that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did, our salah, our zakat, our hajj, our fasting. The month of Ramadan is coming to fast in the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Many people give zakat, to give zakat according to the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hajj is coming also, to do hajj according to the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. All our ibadat in the way of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the third, ulama ikram explained, which is linked to what I just said now, that worry and concern heart of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even the efforts of deen that we are doing, to do it according to the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What was the worry and concern in the heart of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? In Shama'il it is mentioned, da'imul fikra, always thinking, always worried and concerned. Mutawasil al-ahzan, da'imul fikra, laysat lahu raha. There was no moment of ease and comfort for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam after nubuwat.
worry and concern all the time. What will happen to my ummah? What will happen to my ummah? Concern what will happen to the ummah in this world. Concern what happened to the ummah in the qabr. Concern what will happen on the day of Qiyamah, the different stages of akhirat. That worry and concern was so much in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that even Allah ta'ala took pity on Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Perhaps you will destroy yourself if you don't accept iman. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Most of the people not accept iman. What was the pain in the heart of Rasulullah? What was the grief in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Most of my people are going to go to Jahannam. Most of my people are going to go to Jahannam. What worry and concern he had. But he still, with that worry and concern, with the knowledge that everyone will not accept iman, still Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made effort. Still he strove. Still he sacrificed. He took the hardship on himself. So that how maximum amount of people can be saved from Jahannam. How maximum people of the ummah can go to Jannat. I respect the brothers. That responsibility has come onto our shoulders. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last Nabi. Khatamun Nabiyyin. And through the finality of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a great responsibility has been transferred to the ummah. In Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala explains the different levels of responsibility that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had. And also the ummah has via Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The first level of responsibility everyone has is to save himself from Jahannam. Qu anfusakum, save yourselves. So every person is making effort primarily for himself, how when he leaves this world he can live with iman, how he can be saved from the fire of Jahannam. Next level of responsibility, wa ahlikum, save yourself as well as your family, close immediate family. So this also, the worry and concern, my wife, my children, my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, how they can be saved in the fire of Jahannam. The next level of responsibility, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَعَنْزِرْ أَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ, to warn his extended family. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded to this command. He called the different tribes of the Quraysh and he told them, if behind this mountain I tell you that the army about to attack, will you believe me? They knew him as As-Sadiq al-Amin, the most truthful, the most trustworthy, despite not believing in him, but they knew his qualities. They said, definitely we'll believe you, you are As-Sadiq al-Amin. Nabi Islam warned them of the punishment that is going to come. Immediately they turned against him. His own uncle, Abu Lahab, told him, تَبَّلْ لَكَ سَائِرَ الْيَوْمِ أَلِهَذَا جَمَعْتَدَا, may you be destroyed the entire day. Did you gather us for this? They thought it was an important thing. This was the most important thing, but they didn't realize. Nabi SAW made effort on his extended family also. The Allah Ta'ala commanded Nabi SAW in Quran, وَلِتُنْزِرَ أُمَّ الْقُرَىٰ وَمَنْ حَوْلَهَا, your responsibility also is to warn the people of Makkah Mukarramah, which is known as Ummul Qura, and the areas around Makkah Mukarramah also. The responsibility is extending beyond the city, even to the outlying areas. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had transferred the responsibility of the entire mankind. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا. The entire mankind was, the responsibility of the entire mankind was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we as the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with no Nabi to come after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala indicated to the responsibility being transferred to us. قُلْ هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, tell them. Our senior elder, Mawlana Farooq Makki sahab, Allah give him good health, long life. He mentioned in one bayan, wherever Allah ta'ala says the word قُلْ in Quran, it's as if Allah ta'ala is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam what da'wah to give. That, O Nabi of Allah, give the ummah this da'wah. So amongst the different places, one is this, transferring a responsibility. هَذِهِ سَبِيلِي, this is my way. أَدْعُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ, I call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. عَلَى بَصِيرَةٍ, with insight. Not only me, أَنَا. وَمَنِ اتَّبَعَنِي, the ulama explained, وَمَنْ آمَنَ بِي, whoever believed in me, whoever follows me, just as it is my responsibility, the responsibility is also on every ummati of mine. All the different levels of responsibility have been transferred to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Other ayat of Quran also indicate to it, وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةُ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. There has to be a group amongst you who does the effort of deen. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. In this ayat, Allah is telling us, the whole purpose of your creation is for the sake of making the effort of deen. Respected Allah and brothers, we have a very, very great responsibility on our shoulders. And with this great responsibility comes great reward from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will make effort. First and foremost, Allah has promised hidayat for ourselves. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who strive for us in our ways, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala takes a qasam. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ. Definitely we will grant them hidayat. So as we mentioned, different asbab of hidayat. One sabab of hidayat is mujahada, striving for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In a hadith of Tirmidhi Sharif, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned different aspects of the Qur'an-i Majid. And the Qur'an-i Majid is very, very important aspect of our life also. This month of Sha'ban, according to the Tabi'een, wa duna Shahrul Qurra, Salamat ibn Kuhail, Tabi'i, Habib ibn Abi Thabit, Tabi'i, they used to call this month Shahrul Qurra, the month of the reciters of the Qur'an. We have to read Qur'an in abundance in preparation for Ramadan. Ramadan is also Shahrul Qur'an. Shahrul Ramadan alladhi unzila fi al-Qur'an. The month of Qur'an, the month of Tarawih. Preparation is now. Sahaba radiallahu anhu would increase the recitation of Qur'an in this month. So we also have to have attachment to Qur'an. Our effort of deen is linked to Qur'an. It is from Qur'an, it is linked to Qur'an. We have to move with the Qur'an in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I was mentioning the hadith of Tirmidhi, at the end of the hadith, after Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam speaks about the different aspects of Qur'an, the last part of the hadith, مَنْ دَعَى إِلَيْهِ هُدِيَ إِلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ. One who calls towards Qur'an, he will be rightly guided. He will be guided to the straight path. So da'wat also is a means of hidayat. Mujahada is also a means of hidayat. Ita'at of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is also a means of hidayat. These are all the asbab of hidayat which are found in our effort. We will do these amal, Allah will give us hidayat. That is why it is amal and not amal of hidayat. It's a responsibility that we have. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, our pious predecessors, they showed us. They have laid a legacy, have left a legacy, for laid the foundation, how we have to do effort, to strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To sacrifice, to make effort, to leave our homes. Now is the time, now is the month of Sha'ban, going to the month of Ramadan, very Mubarak month. The month of Ramadan is a month of ibadat also, is a month of da'wat also. In the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu explaining the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ibn Umar is the narrator radiallahu anhuma, غَزَوْنَا مَعَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فِي رَمَضَانَ غَزْبَتَيْن. That we went in the path of Allah, we strove in the path of Allah, we fought in the path of Allah on two occasions with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَوْمَ الْبَدْرِ وَالْفَتْحِ. The great battle of Badr took place on the 17th of Ramadan. Imagine, with the fasting, with the ibadat, with the Quran of Ramadan, was the effort of deen in the month of Ramadan. The great occasion of the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah also took place in the month of Ramadan. Respected brothers, Allah has also given us the opportunity. It is a cry of our elders that we should spend time in the path of Allah in the month of Ramadan. And our elders tell us that many areas in the subcontinent, when our elders would give the takaza of Jamaat in Ramadan, those areas that brought many Jamaat in Ramadan, the barakat and the blessing of those Jamaat were felt throughout the year. Ourselves also will see the benefit. Deen coming in our own life, the effort remaining in our own life throughout the year. And wherever we will go, we will make an effort, Allah will use our effort as a means of establishing deen. Just recently, one of our ulama ikram was explaining the Quran of Palestine, the tilawat of Palestine, the durus of Quran of Palestine, the hifz class of Palestine is all in the name amal of the people of South Africa. In the 80s, a jamaat of ulama and khuffad went to Palestine, and there was no sunnah tarawih taking place, 20 rakats, full khatam of Quran. So what they used to do, they used to make their own tarawih. Every place they went, they would read two paras a night. People of Palestine are seeing this for the first time. They started following them around, finding out how these youngsters are hafiz. And the Mulana who was there, Mulana Musa Saab, they asked him, tell us, explain to us how the hifz takes place in South Africa. How do the youngsters learn Quran? He taught them the full tartib, what we know as sabak, door, different tartib, how we learn, starting from Nurani Qaida. He explained to them. There was no hifz class, there was no hufaz. And to the barakat of their qurbani, in their safar, 9 Hijj classes started. This alim, one of our seniors, he said 2011 when they went to Gaza, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they went to the one masjid, the first masjid. And the person who was in charge of the madaris, of the masajid, who passed away now in this jihad, he had come to them and he had told them, I came to give you two khushqabri, two glad tidings. The first glad tiding is, we are thought of mixing secular studies with Islamic studies in the madrasa. But the people of Tabligh, he was indicating towards Ali al-Ghifari, the Amir of Gaza, they stopped us from doing this. They said, keep your dunya separate, keep deen separate. So we listened to them. And the second, which is specific for the people of South Africa, is that 100 asatiza have been produced now who are teaching hifz. Not 100 huffaz, 100 asatiza of hifz class have been produced. And all this is in the name amal of the ulama and huffaz who sacrifice the month of Ramadan in the path of Allah. Respected Allah and brothers, we would not know what barakat and blessings is in striving in the path of Allah in the month of Ramadan. On our own lives also. Not only on our own lives. Many people in the world in the month of Ramadan are not fasting. We travel in the path of Allah in Ramadan. In Muslim countries also, people not fasting. People standing in a queue by the cold water dispenser in the month of Ramadan. At the time of Dhuhr Salah. Why? Because that worry, that concern is not in everyone's heart. So we have to go out in the path of Allah, worry and concern for ourselves, and worry and concern how this amal of deen, which is a fard, the soul can also be revived. Just as all other amal to be revived, in the month of Ramadan, the fasting of Ramadan has to be revived, the complete deen has to be revived. And by striving the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one is we will get the reward, our rewards will increase. But imagine what reward Allah will give us, when we will go not only to bring ibadah in our own life, but to make an effort for the complete deen, which includes ibadah to come alive in the entire mankind. Our niyat is the entire mankind till the day of Qiyamah. For this we have to make niyat. For this we have to go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now is a very mubarak time to come out in the path of Allah from now. The rest of Shaaban, going into the month of Ramadan, how we can plan one complete chillah in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the taqaza of the time. Alhamdulillah, many madaris close at this time. Many students will be coming out. Many ulama will be coming out also. We also should make it our habit that how we also can get the opportunity of striving in the path of Allah in the month of Ramadan. One in one narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Man saama yawman fi sabilillah, ja'ala Allahu baynahu wa bayna an-nari khandaqan kama bayna as-sama'i wal-ard." The one who fast one day in the path of Allah, one day in the path of Allah, Allah will distance him from Jahannam, the size of one trench, a trench away from the fire of Jahannam, and the size of that trench is the extent of the sky to the earth. Fasting one day in the path of Allah. Imagine fasting 30 days in the path of Allah. How far from Jahannam Allah will take us. With all other benefits that Allah will use us as a means of hidayat for others. So let us make niyat, inshallah. Now is a very mubarak time of the year. The season of the believer. The month of Rajab, the month of Sha'ban, the month of Ramadan, going to the month of Hajj. This is the mubarak time to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us make niyat, inshallah, to go in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If those who have not spent 4 months, we make niyat to come out for 4 months in the path of Allah immediately. Make niyat, mashallah. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. Mawlana Sha'ban, Ali, Mawlana Abdul Hakim, Hasnain, Adam, Bilal, MashaAllah. Allah accept. Keep making niyat, inshallah. Every person who has not spent 4 months, let us take this opportunity. Last night was a Mubarak night also. To turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We make niyat. We make decision with Allah. Now, I will spend my 4 months to learn the effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every person who has spent 4 months, inshallah, let us make niyat. Mubarak days coming to Ramadan now. Let us make niyat. Allah will accept our niyat. Put barakat in our niyat. Will allow us to come out. Accept us to come out. Let us all make niyat, inshallah. Who else is ready, inshallah? Hafiz Junaid, mashallah. Allah accept, inshallah. Alhamdulillah, our 4 months pedal jamaat has started. Now is the taqaza of our next pedal jamaat also. So we should make niyat, inshallah. We plan this year. I spent 4 months before. Not spend pedal. How this year, 2025, can be the year when I will spend 4 months pedal. We make niyat from now. We work, set a date. We work towards it. Allah will make it happen. If we initiate it, we get the reward of the whole jamaat. Let us make niyat, inshallah. Those who have spent 4 months, not spent 4 months, make niyat for 4 months, IPB. Those who have spent 4 months, the next taqaza is 4 months pedal. To walk in those areas. There are still places in our country where the name of Allah has not been taken. We do not know, inshallah, Allah will make our route in that place. That ground will bear testimony. The first person to take your name, O Allah, and me was this person in the path of Allah. That great benefit we will get. Let us make niyat, inshallah. In this year, within this year, Mawlana Shoaib Qazi Sawas. In this year we make niyat, how we can come out 4 months pedal, inshallah. Like this is 4 months foreign taqaza, taqaza of USA, North America, South America, different countries of Africa, all istakaza for them. Let us make niyat, inshallah. 40 days also we can make niyat also, inshallah. If you start now, inshallah, we will come back before Eid also, inshallah. Even if you spend time in Eid, inshallah, very great benefit, very great sacrifice. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant that the opportunity of sacrificing our Eid day also for Him. Let us make niyat, inshallah. There is jamaat coming out now, foreign also, Pakistan also. Let us make niyat. Inshallah. Barbecue, inshallah. Allah accept. Keep making niyat, inshallah. Now the season had passed, November, December, January. Many jamaats came out, but many people didn't come out also. Alhamdulillah, we had many jamaats, but if you count the number of people in each jamaat, how many people did not spend time is much more. So how ourselves have not come out, how we can come out, and how we can make effort in our areas. Every single person in our area is a potential for local chilla. Every person, we make a tashkil, take him for 3 days, a few occasions, you can get ready for chilla. Local chilla, anyone can go. The maidan of effort to make someone's tashkil for local chilla is open. But we have to go back and make effort every day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us jamaats. Every week on the Shab Guzari, every week on our Umi Gash, a jamaat will come out. But we have to have this worry and concern. Every person of masjid we see, this musalli, he should be out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we have this niyat, we have this motivation in us, then inshallah for jamaat to come out will be easy. So all make niyat, inshallah, from our different areas. Which area says, inshallah, in the month of Shaban, month of Ramadan, after Ramadan, jamaats will come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Local, chilla, foreign, Pakistan, whichever inshallah taqaza it is, let us make niyat. At least we can make the niyat and go back and make effort for it. Spingo yields, inshallah. Allah accept, inshallah. Let's make niyat. Keep making niyat, inshallah. Our elders also have the worry of masturat. Masturat jamaats come on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Compared to the men's jamaat, very few masturat jamaats are coming out. That worry and concern also, just as deen is necessary for us, also necessary for our family members, for wife and children. And that deen will come alive through the masturat effort, through talim in our home, talim of the locality, 3 days every third month, chilla every third year. This is so how deen come in the lives of the women folk. So that also we have to make niyat, to come out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they also get the same mizaj of nubuwat, the same worry and concern for the hidayat of mankind. They will become supporters and assistants in the effort of deen. Let's make niyat also. Men's jamaat also and masturah jamaat also, inshallah. There are a few jamaat getting ready, potentials for the year. Right, they say we need to increase the amount of jamaat that are going masturah also. Let us make niyat, inshallah. Keep the rewards in front. For Allah is easy. All the obstacles we got in front of us, for Allah is not an obstacle. Everything is easy, everything is Allah's control. We should place our trust in Allah and make niyat. Allah will remove it. Iman will be made by making niyat with obstacles in front of us. Allah will show us how through our effort, through the tawfiq of Allah, the obstacles will be removed. Turn to Allah, ask Allah, negate the obstacles. Obstacles cannot prevent me from going. Allah will make me go. In this way we will come out, Allah will make it easy for us to come out. Let's keep making niyat, inshallah. And one takaza of Ramadan, mashallah. What's the brother's name? Ahmed. Mashallah, Allah accept. Which masjid? South Beach, mashallah, Allah accept. One takaza of Ramadan, specifically what Allah is putting forward this year, especially with a lot of emphasis, is the Ashara Jamaat in Ramadan. One is a long-term jamaat, 40 days, 4 months, which we should strive for. But minimum, if you're not going out for the long-term jamaat, at least you should dedicate 10 days of the month of Ramadan in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our elders have set up a tarteeb. It's not difficult. We all want to complete our tarawih. Let us complete our tarawih in fewer days. 10 days, you can finish our tarawih. The first 10 days. Second 10 days, we try to give time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if we want to sit for itikaf after that, the option is still there to fulfill the great sunnah of itikaf also is there. We fulfill everything, we go in the path of Allah also, we sit, fulfill the great sunnah of itikaf also, and we finish our tarawih also. This is also being shown to us by our elders. So let's make niyat, inshallah. From every area, we have been given destinations, we have been given the routes, where our jamaat should go. That is the taqaza from the markaz to our area. So for that to happen, we have to first get ready ourselves, then we can make jamaat ready. So who is ready, inshallah? Which areas are making niyat, inshallah? Each area has been given a taqaza that we are making fikr, we have made list, we are meeting the people to take out the jamaat in the path of Allah for 10 days. It can be any of the 10 days. First 10 days, middle 10 days, last 10 days, any of the 10 days, but we should strive to take out this jamaat, inshallah. Let us make niyat, inshallah. Let areas make niyat, inshallah. Even if we have not started yet, we make niyat and we go back and we make the, take the takaza, inshallah. Reservoir, inshallah. Three jamaats, 3 days. Last ashara, inshallah. Jamaat of Ashraf, mashallah. Keep each area make niyat, inshallah. We'll make niyat easy for the jamaat to come out. The first step is the niyat. We made the niyat, now we've got work to do. To follow up the our asatis. Spingo Hills to Amtata, inshallah. Phoenix, mashallah. Amzinto, mashallah, mashallah. Keep making niyat. Many areas we have. Every area make niyat. Not a difficult takaza. 10 days. We got 1 month to prepare. Spencer Road, mashallah. Keep making niyat. All areas, inshallah. Chatsworth, mashallah. Allah accept, inshallah. Keep making niyat, mashallah. Very important takaza. Easy takaza. But very important. We will get the reward of the striving Ramadan. People who make effort on, they'll get the reward. We will get their reward also. If we spend the night, last 10 nights in the path of Allah, Musgrave, mashallah, Allah accept. We'll be in the masjid also. We'll get the opportunity of searching for Laylatul Qadr also. We'll be making effort on the day also. All combined, Allah will give us great benefit, inshallah. Let us make niyat, inshallah. All areas, inshallah. If any area is here not making niyat, let us make niyat on behalf of our area. We go back, put in our mashura tomorrow morning, put in our mashura on Sunday morning, takaza for the 10-day jamaat. And inshallah, together we'll make effort. Which other areas, mashallah? Make niyat, inshallah. Many areas are here. We take the takaza, inshallah. Allah will grant us tawfiq to get ready first. We can prepare the jamaat. And my respect to Ahlul Bayt is very, very important. As we come to Ramadan now also, our effort for deen should not decrease. Our effort for deen has to increase. As we mentioned, is a month of ibadat also, month of dawat also. So just as the amal out of the month of Ramadan, the same amal continue in the month of Ramadan. Maybe the times will change. Maybe the days will change, but the amal will continue. Mashura will take place daily. Mulaqat will take place daily. Our talim will take place daily. Talim in the home should take place daily. Fazail of Ramadan should be read. Our ingash and outgash will take place weekly. Let us make mashura in our areas, sit together and make mashura. How are we going to do the amal? How are we going to increase the amal? People are soft. People who have to go to their homes out of Ramadan to meet them. We couldn't meet them sometimes. They are not there. They come back late. They leave early. Now they are coming to the masjid on their own. Now their hearts are soft. Now to meet them, now to make their skills become easy. At this time, let us not become lax, not become negligent. Let us use the opportunity to make the tashkil. Use the opportunity to link them to masjid, link them to the amar of the masjid. So we all make niyat, inshallah. Month of Ramadan also, our efforts will not decrease, our efforts will increase. We will make more effort. How we can revive the sunnah of Rasulullah and Sahaba, that together with ibadat, they also made the effort of dawat. We all will try to do this, inshallah. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq, inshallah. We should sit in our halkas now, keep all these takaz in front, inshallah, and make mashura. And inshallah, we should keep the sanctity of the masjid. Let us not make noise. Let us not talk unnecessarily. And when adhan goes, inshallah, we should prepare for salah. Allah Ta'ala give us all tawfiq. Subhanallah wa hamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Subhanallah 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 wa bihamdika.